Hi everyone, today we're going to be reading the East Boston Times Free Press. This edition is from Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. Tom Ambrosino will retire as Administrator of State Courts, by Carrie Schumann. Tom Ambrosino, one of the most influential municipal leaders in the history of two communities, Revere and Chelsea, has announced that he will be retiring as the court administrator of the Massachusetts Trial Court. Ambrosino said he notified court personnel that he will be retiring in the fall. I haven't yet submitted my paperwork to the state, but it's sitting on my desk, ready to be hand-delivered. I'll probably retire sometime in September. From his office at the John Adams Courthouse in Boston, Ambrosino had a major responsibility in the Massachusetts judicial system. He oversaw 94 courts and 6,500 court employees. It definitely was an interesting job, but it's time to go, said Ambrosino. I've been here 3.5 years. Prior to his job in the courts, Ambrosino served as city manager of Chelsea for 7.5 years. He was previously the mayor of Revere for 12 years, following 4 years as a counselor at large and 6 years as a school committee member. I have great memories of my years in Revere and Chelsea, said Ambrosino. We accomplished a lot of good things. Ambrosino, who will turn 65 years old in November, still holds a special connection to Revere. His daughter, Alexandra Ambrosino Nader, is a teacher at the Hill Elementary School. Ambrosino is a 1979 graduate of Revere High School, where he was an outstanding student and a member of the National Honor Society. One of his favorite educators was Carol Tai, who has often praised Ambrosino for his academic excellence and studiousness. She was my 10th grade English teacher, Ambrosino noted of Tai, who would later become the superintendent of schools and serve on the school committee. Ambrosino went on to attend Boston University, graduating in 1983. He continued his education at Harvard Law School, earning his Juris JD degree in 1986. Ambrosino said of his distinguished career, I will miss public service, but it's been 37 years. It's been a long time. I feel proud of my career. I did my best, that's for sure. Ambrosino said he and his longtime partner, Lori Giardella, intend to do a lot of traveling in his retirement years. But Ambrosino added that he hopes to eventually work in another field. I hope it's not the end, said Ambrosino. I really would like to do something else, but I'm not sure what. I don't want to really stop working. It's time to retire from state government. Revere Mayor Patrick Keefe, City Councilor President Anthony Zambudo, and Representatives Jessica Giannino and Jeff Turco led a tremendous tribute from city and state officials to Ambrosino's career. See related sidebar. Free arts and crafts and STEM workshops arrive in Boston Parks. The Boston Parks and Recreation Department is pleased to announce the return of free arts and crafts workshops and the introduction of STEM and youth preparedness workshops for children through the Park Arts Program. Kids ages 3 to 10 can enjoy a wide variety of activities led by local artists and instructors, including upcoming dates right here in East Boston. The local East Boston events, arts and crafts workshops on Tuesday, July 28th, August 4th, and 11th at Lopresti Park from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. In addition to arts programming, Park Arts is debuting free STEM and youth preparedness workshops on Mondays throughout July and August at various parks across the city. Led by a Boston Public Schools teacher and staff from the City of Boston Office of Emergency Management, these hands-on workshops combine interactive STEM activities with lessons on emergency preparedness. Summer in Boston Parks is all about giving children and families opportunities to connect, learn, explore, and create, said Diana Fernandez Babao, Commissioner of Parks and Recreation and Deputy Chief of Open Space. Early exposure to STEM is critical for shaping the next generation of innovators, and we are proud to use our parks to inspire young minds and open doors to future career possibilities. Kendall Basham, Emergency Manager and Regional Coordinator for Boston Office of Emergency Management, added, by using fun, accessible tools like the Prepare with Pedro series, we can teach our young students how to stay calm, find a flashlight, and know what goes into an emergency kit. Participation is free, and all materials are provided. All children must be accompanied by an adult. Groups of 8 or more must pre-register by emailing parks@boston.gov. or by calling the Parks Department at 617-961-3082. The Marionette Puppet Show series will also return in July and August during various children's workshops featuring Rosalita's puppets. Other citywide events. Arts and crafts workshops, 10 a.m. to noon, Wednesdays at Marcella Playground in Heinz Field on July 18th, 15th, and 22nd, and training fields in Mission Hill Playground on July 29th, August 5th, and 12th. Thursdays at Fallon Fields and Walker Playground on July 9th, 16th, and 23rd, and Medal of Honor Park in Myrtle Street Playground on July 30th, August 6th, and 13th. Fridays at Mozart Street Playground and Joyce Playground on July 10th, 17th, and 24th, and training fields in Doherty Gibson Playground on July 31st, August 7th, and 14th. Tuesdays at Iacono Playground and Walsh Playground on July 14th and 21st, and at Elliott Norton Park on July 28th, August 4th, and 11th. STEM and Youth Preparedness workshops at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Mondays at McConnell Park on July 13th, Tiffany Moore Tot Lot on July 20th, Moakley Park on July 27th, Hunt Almond Park on August 3rd, and Peters Park on August 10th. Rosalita's Puppets, 11 a.m. at Fallon Field on July 23rd, Mozart Street Playground on July 24th, Myrtle Street Playground on July 30th, O'Day Playground on July 31st, Medal of Honor Park on August 6th, and Doherty Gibson Playground on August 7th. For more information, visit boston.gov/parkarts. The East Boston Times Free Press Forum. Enjoy the tall ships. The return of the tall ships to Boston Harbor this coming weekend will place a spectacular exclamation point to the celebration of America's 250th anniversary. The international fleet of vessels will arrive in Boston Outer Harbor beginning Thursday and into Friday, where they will anchor in Broad Sound ahead of the parade of sail on Saturday. The ships at anchor will be plainly visible from the shores of Lynn, Revere, and Winthrop, transforming the outer harbor into a seascape of masts that will evoke the 18th century. Then, on Saturday morning, starting at 9 o'clock, the ships will unfurl their sails and proceed into the inner harbor past Deer Island and Castle Island. Led by Old Ironsides, the USS Constitution, the parade will sail past the entire Boston waterfront, including East Boston, the North End, and Charlestown, with Admirals Hill and Chelsea offering longer distance views of the ships' turnaround before heading to their berths. The ships will be open to the public for boarding throughout the week, providing a unique opportunity to experience the inner workings of these majestic vessels, which will include the Amerigo Vespucci in Italy, the Juan Sebastian del Elcano from Spain, Cisne Branco from Brazil, Blue Nose 2 from Canada, and Dar Mlotzi from Poland. Fireworks displays on the evenings of Saturday, July 11th and Wednesday, July 15th will light up the harbor beginning at 9:15 p.m. We vividly recall the first visit of the tall ships in 1976 for America's 200th anniversary. We have no doubt that for young and old alike, the visit of the tall ships this week will create memories that will last a lifetime. It had been a great World Cup until. The World Cup has been a wonderful event, enjoyed by soccer fans and non-fans alike. The games have been incredibly exciting, especially in the first knockout round, where underdog teams have pushed the giants of the sports to the limit. Until recently, the tournament also had been devoid of politics. The influx of international fans into our American host cities, including Boston, have created a degree of harmony and goodwill that is seldom seen in the world today. However, that all changed this past week. American government officials took it upon themselves to intervene with FIFA to lift the automatic one-game suspension of a star U.S. player who has received a red card in his previous match. The sequence of events that led to the player's reinstatement from Monday's match with Belgium has cast a pall over the integrity of the tournament. FIFA, by suspending its own suspension, has shown itself to be just as subject to backroom influence as it has been in the past. Meanwhile, U.S. officials have shown themselves to be ruthlessly craven in the pursuit of winning. Ultimately, the real losers amidst all of the shenanigans are the American players. Their superb showing throughout the tournament, despite Monday's 4-1 loss to Belgium, will be forever overshadowed by this crass manipulation of the rules by FIFA and U.S. officials. Wu signs city order to expand property tax relief for older homeowners. Mayor Michelle Wu joined City Councilor Rusty Lucian, Mass Senior Action, local elected officials, and residents to sign a city order that lets Boston adjust the senior property tax break each year to keep up with the cost of living. Under this change, the income and asset limits for the senior exemption will rise annually with inflation, based on the Federal Consumer Price Index. The new limits will allow more older homeowners to qualify starting on July 1st, 2026. Helping seniors age in place means keeping them connected to homes, neighborhoods, families, and support networks. And this order provides real relief to older homeowners at a time when costs keep rising, said Mayor Michelle Wu. I'm grateful to Councillor Lujian for championing this effort and to the entire City Council for their partnership in supporting our older homeowners. The City of Boston currently offers a senior property tax exemption under the 41C program, which provides property tax relief for older adults based on age, income, and asset thresholds. These thresholds are fixed unless increased by local action and have become outdated for many municipalities across the state due to inflation and rising costs for residents and families. Investing in our seniors is more than a debt of gratitude. It's a commitment to Boston's future, said City Councilor Ruthie Lujian. I am proud to have led the effort to adopt Clause 41D, helping protect older homeowners today while strengthening the promise that future generations will also be able to age in place, remain rooted, and continue shaping the neighborhoods they call home. Adopting Clause 41D will help preserve property tax relief for Boston's older adult homeowners who are at risk of losing eligibility as inflation affects their income and savings. This order was led and filed by City Councilor Ruthie Lujian, co-sponsored by City Councilors Brian Worrell and Ben Weber, and unanimously approved by the Boston City Council. This announcement builds on Mayor Wu and the city's work to address affordability, protect residents and families from rising costs, and provide much-needed relief and assistance to older residents across neighborhoods. Adding an annual cost of living increase will help people stay eligible for the 41C exemption as their Social Security adjusts with inflation, said Emily Shea, Boston's Age Strong Commissioner. This is important because our older residents deserve the opportunity to age with dignity in the communities they helped build. The new order will take effect on July 1st, 2027, and applicants can begin to apply with the Taxpayer Referral Assistance Center. Income limits for residents will be posted on the city's assessing department website on July 1st, 2027. Nearly half of Boston's senior homeowners are severely housing cost burdened, paying more than 50% of their income to housing costs. Ultimately, the City of Boston will have the ability to determine the final rate for the fee, collection method, and any exemptions that may exist. Specifically, this order would increase the fixed income with Social Security amounts from $25,980 to $26,687 if single, and from $38,970 to $40,031 if married, and increase total assets from $40,000 to $41,080 if single, and $55,000 to $56,485 if married, and broaden eligibility by replacing the fixed limits with a percentage increase of the CPI. Since 2022, the city has also included an expansion of the senior tax exemption in multiple filed home rule petitions to improve quality of life and protect older Boston residents. Through these efforts, the city has worked to secure expanded property tax relief for low-income seniors by modifying the eligibility criteria for the 41C program and increasing the exemption. These changes, if they were implemented by the state, would provide the city with flexibility to modernize the criteria and provide much-needed and sustainable financial assistance to a vulnerable population. Far too many seniors across Boston struggle with rising property taxes. We deeply appreciate Mayor Wu, Councillor Lujian, and the City Council for doing all they can to expand relief, said Lily Bryan, president of the Boston chapter of the Massachusetts Senior Action Council. Clause 41D will protect seniors from losing access to the help they need by raising the income and asset limits each year to reflect the cost of living. We must now build on this victory to reach more seniors who need help, and we call on the legislature to pass Boston's home rule petitions. This action also builds on Mayor Wu and the city's longstanding efforts to amend state laws to address the housing crisis and provide predictability for residents. Earlier this year, Mayor Wu signed the city's transfer fee home rule petition, a proposal to create a new local funding source for affordable housing. Passed by the Boston City Council on April 15, 2026, the petition is with the state legislature for consideration. The proposal would allow Boston to apply a fee of up to 2% on real estate transactions over $2 million, with the first $2 million exempt to limit impacts on middle-class homeowners. The mayor has advanced similar proposals in 2021 and 2023 and continues to pursue the transfer fee as a tool to help build more affordable housing across Boston. Last year, the city also refiled an expanded residential tax relief package that aimed at providing financial assistance to Boston residents impacted by sharp increases in their property tax bills. The Associates of the Boston Public Library presented an evening of music, poetry, and reflection marking the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. The Associates of the Boston Public Library presented We Hold These Truths on Thursday, June 25th at the Central Library's Rab Hall, marking the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence with an evening of music, poetry, and reflection. Former Governor Deval Patrick and U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer served as special guest speakers, reading from the Declaration interspersed throughout the program. Their readings framed the evening's artistic performances within the enduring language and ideals of the founding document. The hall was filled with sustained applause at the end of the program, underscoring the impact of the evening's performances and readings. The Central Library's Rap Hall was filled to the brim as audiences gathered for the 8th annual Pierce Performance Series, featuring newly commissioned music by graduate students from New England Conservatory and Berklee College of Music, created in response to the Declaration's legacy. The Handel and Haydn Society Youth Chorus Ambassador Ensemble performed Lamentations Over Boston by early American composer William Billings. Massachusetts inaugural poet laureate Reggie Gibson performed an original blackout poem drawn from the text of the Declaration of Independence. The event complemented the Boston Public Library's exhibition Declarations, Printing a New Nation, presented by the BPL and the Norman B. Leventhal Map and Education Center, made possible by the Irene Haney Creative Enrichment Fund through the BPL Fund. For the first time ever, the BPL's 8 rare printings of the Declaration are displayed together in a public exhibition on view through September 13, 2026. Now in its 8th year, the Pierce Performance Series is supported by the Harold Whitworth Pierce Charitable Trust and reflects the Associates' commitment to activating the Boston Public Library's special collections through free public programming that connects historical materials with contemporary artists and audiences. Since 1972, the Associates of the Boston Public Library are independent nonprofit, have raised funds to preserve and promote the Boston Public Library's special collections. The Associates hosts many programs, including the Pierce Performance Series, the Alan Andres Writer-in-Residence and Picture Book Writer Fellowship, and 100-Year Book Debate and the Literary Lights Gala. WU announces new cycle of citywide participatory budgeting initiative. Mayor Michelle WU announced the return of the city's participatory budgeting initiative, Ideas in Action, for its third year. Last year, thousands of residents participated by attending workshops, submitting ideas, and voting to fund 8 innovative projects, which are now moving into implementation. Participatory budgeting is open to all Boston residents, offering the opportunity to help decide how to allocate $2 million of the city's budget by submitting ideas, developing ballot proposals, and voting on their preferred projects. Residents can share their ideas up to July 31st by visiting boston.gov/participate. Participatory budgeting empowers community members to directly shape city investments, from strengthening youth programs and expanding access to community resources, to improve public spaces across Boston, said Mayor Michelle WU. We encourage residents to share their ideas and help shape the investments that will be made in communities across every neighborhood. The Office of Participatory Budgeting will again partner with trusted community-based organizations to support residents in submitting ideas and participating in the process. Residents may share ideas online at participate.boston.gov, via phone by calling 617-635-3059, in person at City Hall and selected BCYF community centers, and by joining idea collection workshops hosted by community partners across Boston. After the idea collection phase, the city will review submissions and work with residents to develop eligible ideas into proposals for a future public vote. Ideas submitted throughout the process also help inform the city's understanding of community priorities and future budget investments. Participatory budgeting is one of the most direct ways residents can help shape how city resources are invested in their communities, said Renato Costello, director of the Office of Participatory Budgeting. Every idea submitted helps us better understand what residents are experiencing, what neighborhoods need, and where public investment can have the greatest impact. As we continue this work, our goal is to make participation simple, accessible, and meaningful for residents of all ages, backgrounds, and neighborhoods. Eligible ideas may include projects that strengthen mental health among Boston youth, expand digital access, support senior residents, improve public spaces, advance food access, enhance parks and recreation, support local economic opportunity, promote health and well-being, and address neighborhood needs across Boston. Residents may participate by submitting project ideas online at participate.boston.gov, calling and recording ideas through the Multilingual Participatory Budgeting phone line at 617-635-3059, visiting City Hall or selected BCYF community centers, attending in-person idea collection workshops organized by nonprofit organizations throughout the city. More information can be found at boston.gov/participate. The timeline for Ideas in Action Idea Collection July 2026 Proposal Development is October through December 2026. Voting will take place in January and February 2027. Funding and implementing winning ideas will be in spring of 2027. Ideas in Action started as a community effort, which led Boston voters to approve a ballot measure in the 2021 municipal election, creating the Office of Participatory Budgeting. The ordinance establishing the office was adopted by Mayor Wu and the City Council in the spring of 2023. Neighbor Health convenes statewide leaders to advance maternal health equity. Neighbor Health brought together elected officials, clinicians, maternal health advocates, and community leaders at the Massachusetts State House on Wednesday, June 24, 2026, for Community Maternal Health, Strengthening the Delivery of Care, a forum focused on identifying community-driven solutions to improve maternal health care outcomes for families and reduce inequities across Massachusetts. Led by Mimi Gardner, MPH, LICSW, Vice President and Chief of Community Partnerships and Health Impact at NeighborHealth, and sponsored by Massachusetts Senator Liz Miranda, the event addressed persistent challenges in maternal and perinatal health, including rising rates of severe maternal morbidity, SMM, and inequities across race, geography, and socioeconomic status. Throughout the morning, speakers highlighted actionable strategies to strengthen care delivery, expand access, and ensure more equitable outcomes across the Commonwealth. This important conversation honors the voices of birthing people across Massachusetts, whose experiences continue to guide this work, said Gardner. Together, doulas, midwives, public health leaders, and policymakers are advancing solutions to ensure every family is heard, valued, and supported with care they deserve. Participants also reviewed community-informed recommendations aligned with ongoing legislative priorities, including strengthening the maternal health workforce and advancing reimbursement pathways for doulas and midwives to support safe, respectful, and equitable care. The convening featured remarks and participation from local and statewide leaders, including Senator Liz Miranda, 2nd Suffolk District, Massachusetts, State Representative Marjorie Decker, Dr. Kiami Mahania, Massachusetts Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Basola Ajikudo, Commissioner of Public Health and Executive Director of the Boston Public Health Commission, Michael Curry, President and CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, Dr. Nidimaka Amuda Anukaga, Center for Maternal Health Advancement at Tufts University. We know the disparities, we know the data, we know the solutions. The question is, what will it take to fully commit to maternal health equity? Said Senator Miranda. Black and brown women continue to face unacceptable barriers to safe and respectful care. If we are serious about changing outcomes, we must invest in community-led solutions, listen to those most impacted, and ensure that equity is at the center of every policy decision we make. Every mother deserves dignity, and together we can build a system that truly listens and cares, said Dr. Amuda Anukaga. By leading with equity and compassion, we can create a future where every family thrives, rooted in justice and joy. The event underscored the importance of community-led solutions in shaping policy, fostering alignment between community priorities and state-level efforts to advance maternal health equity for families across Massachusetts. NeighborHealth continues to lead this work through innovative community-centered models of care, and partnerships that expand access and strengthen maternal health services across the Commonwealth. Zoomix announces 2026 Summer Concert Series. Zoomix, a local nonprofit providing creative opportunities for young people through music and technology, will kick off its annual Summer Concert Series on Sunday, July 12th in Pierce Park. The first concert coincides with Zoomix's annual Walk for Music, a major fundraiser and joyful celebration of the Zoomix community, and the launch of Eastie Weeks, the annual celebration of cultural and musical heritage and organizations in the East Boston neighborhood. Local Eastie band Don't Be Denied will headline the July 12th show with an opening set by the Zoomix Youth Ensemble. The Summer Concert Series highlights local professional musicians showcasing a vast array of genres. The July lineup this year includes a youth showcase on July 19th, featuring student bands from Zoomix and fellow East Boston-based music nonprofit Moab. Musicians headlining in August include Latin jazz and folk artist Manuela Sanchez Gubert on August 2nd, Zoe Knight and Mythical Beasts on August 9th, and Club de Elf on August 16th. The final show on August 23rd will feature Zoomix's African drumming ensemble Rhythms of Ghana, opening for local musical adventure K2, which blends the music of several Greater Boston-based denizens of the African music scene with roots in Ghana and Mozambique. "We're so excited to welcome the community to our summer concerts this year," said Madeline Stasinski, co-founder and executive director of Zoomix. "As we continue to celebrate our 35th anniversary, we're thrilled to showcase great local talent, including our student musicians and sound techs. Anyone is welcome to join us." All family-friendly concerts will take place from 6 to 8 p.m. at Pierce Park, which is located at 95 Marginal Street in East Boston. The concerts will open with young musicians from Zoomix's programs. Zoomix Summer Concert Series is presented with support from the East Boston Foundation and the Massachusetts Cultural Council.